again and welcome to another Monday. Another Monday. It is November, the first Monday in the month of November. And early on here, I got a question for you. As I told you off the air, I'm in a station tonight, but I'm in the other one, and I'm doing Monday Night Football tonight because a guy called out and he got sick and yada yada. So I have not had a chance to watch Monday Night Raw yet. Am I missing much of anything?
No. You did miss a guitar and a pole match.
I did. Okay, guitar and a pole. But I'm assuming Elias Samson was involved. Who else was in it?
The guy that broke his guitars over and over last week.
Okay. And has Alexa Bliss been on yet?
No, but right now Braun Strowman is completely taking out The Miz and his Miztourage. And it's
you gotta love when The Miz gets taken out, don't you? You just gotta love that.
Yeah, right. If you weren't convinced that Braun Strowman was having a face turn, it's pretty much apparent at this point.
Now, I never understood that because you got a guy who would be the perfect heel, the perfect unbeatable, just monster. And I mean, I understand the fans like him, but throughout history, when you think about it, throughout the history of this business, there has been several heels that the fans liked. Okay, the most notable probably being the Undertaker. Because technically he was a bad guy. The Ministry of Darkness still got cheers whenever they came out. Nobody really ever booed the Ministry, even though they were one of the, you know, worst factions when it comes to just being the bad guys. Not one of the worst overall, but also DX. Okay, DX in 97. You want to tell me one single heel group worse than DX in 97? And they still got cheers. So I wouldn't call it a face turn per se. I would just call it giving the fans what they want.
Well, yeah, and now we have Kane coming out right now to confront Braun Strowman.
Oh, and, good. Yeah, 45-year-old Kane. That's what people want to see.
Yeah, part-time wrestler, full-time politician. I mean, really?
Now, did you look that up? Did he lose? Is that why he's back in the company?
No, I guess for some reason his election isn't until, like, the summer or something.
Oh, so he's just kind of – okay, so they're just kind of running with a quick 3-week storyline and being done with it. I see. All right.
I guess.
All right. Yeah. Yeah.
Hey, at least he's not the Universal Champion, because they seem to like to do that, make part-time guys, you know, champions.
Right. And, you know, actually when you think about it, the ultimate heel right now would be Brock Lesnar because, one – You don't see him but once a month, if that. And you know, the whole thing with you know, champion versus champion, you know, Jinder Mahal versus Brock Lesnar.
Yeah.
I don't know how you could put that.
Well, would you consider Brock? I just dropped something. Would you consider Brock Lesnar to be a heel?
I technically would, yeah.
So I think that's one of those situations where Brock Lesnar is a heel that gets cheered. I think he's sort of, in a way, he's the part-time version of what they're trying to do with Braun Strowman right now, if that makes any sense.
Right.
But all right, well, let me know when Alexa Bliss comes on, because I want to know, I have her all recorded, so I'm going to watch it when I get home.
Well, it won't be until after the show's over. The way it is right now, you'll be able to fast forward right to that part because there's, you know, the whole deal about this guitar and a pole match, that reminds me back in the days of WCW when they were like the Titanic, when you're having Pinata on a pole and Viagra on
a pole. Well, here's the weird thing, though. WWE just reported, I just got the news story across my desk. They just reported their best – now, this is from WWE reported this – their best financial quarter ever. I mean, how is that possible with the product that they're putting out? I mean, I understand people are buying merchandise and they're going to live shows and they're doing this and that, but how are they you know, how are they producing any kind of revenue with the shit production that they're putting out? I don't know. Real quick, though, we'll get into this. Go ahead and tell us who we got coming on tonight, because we got some very special guests.
All right, we have Andy Strasberg, star of the movie 61, also a former San Diego Padre front office staff member, James Gammis, and Grin and Barrett. We have three guests on tonight, and
who are they? How'd you get in touch with them?
Well, they are actually strong wrestlers on the independent scene that contacted me.
Okay.
And they could be on the show, and they're going to tell us a little bit about themselves. And I also want to thank our two new sponsors that are joining the show. We have 61outfitters.com, where you can get all the greatest in hunting, fishing, and great baseball caps run by Roger Perry Jr. That's his company, 61outfitters.com. And also, Big Nick Sports Guards, 3902 13th Avenue South, 701-277-1989, for all your Pokemon, Yu-Gi-Oh!, Carson Wentz, Minnesota Twins, Minnesota Vikings, Minnesota Wild, NFL, football, baseball, memorabilia, all under one roof in the basement of the West Acre Shopping Mall. Big Nick Sports Guards.
Thank you. No worries.
Happy to have you aboard.
Yeah, so here's and our sponsors. We love all of our sponsors. And I guess my main question here, Icon, would be, and this question goes out to our independent wrestlers. And you said we have one more guest coming on. I'll let you tell us who that is in a minute. But has this tag team won any titles, or do they have any title history?
Well, no, it's not a tag team. They're all single guests.
Oh, they're all single. Oh, Grin and Barrett is. Oh, I see. Okay, I thought Grin and Barrett were a tag team. We're a tag team. Okay. Now, one more thing for you. And this might be some news that you may be interested in knowing. According to Alberto Del Rio, now I don't know if you take anything this guy says seriously or not, but according to Alberto Del Rio, he would guess, in his estimation, that Paige is only a couple of days away from rejoining the WWE. Did you hear this rumor? You have any validity to this?
I have heard that, and I was going to talk about that. I would love to see it. I mean, you know, Alexa Bliss is yours. Paige has always been mine. But
yes.
The thing about Paige, though, is, she kind of tainted her career. She's an adult. She should be able to date who she wants, whether it's Alberto Rio or not. No one should have a right to say that she can't. But a lot of people count on that. But the leak of her sex tape is what really put things in perspective. Now, recently, the other big thing going around the internet is there was nude pictures released of JoJo, the ring announcer. And I saw them.
Well, for Paige, though, my question would be, if she's a couple of days from coming back, do you think that perhaps she could be ready to go for perhaps maybe that women's Survivor Series team?
I think it would be too soon. They already named who they're going to have. Yeah.
Now, I think that this would be a complete cream fest for both of us. Can you imagine a WWE Raw Women's title match between Alexa Bliss and Paige?
Now, that would be really, really cool, and I would love to see
that. We would have to put the show on hold. Neither one of us would be able to pay attention.
Yeah, I think you're right. As a matter of fact, I'd record that and play it over and over again. I mean, you know.
I bet you would. And just imagine if Paige had a wardrobe malfunction during the match.
Well, she really doesn't need to, because she's got nude pictures on the internet.
Yeah, she's perfectly capable of taking them off herself. We know that. Yeah. Yeah, but
the way I understand, she, she's got a pretty wild side too. And whenever she has had these escapades, she's always recorded them. So, and all of the videos have been leaked. So it's,
well,
it's
nice.
Very interesting. You know, but
you know,
I
and I.
Go ahead.
Well, now I want Alexa Bliss to have nude photos or sex tape or something like that. I think right now, I heard she's got a freaky side to her. That's the rumor that's out there. But I don't think with as much of a push as she's gotten recently in the company that she would allow herself to, be put in that position. Because, I mean, like you said with Paige, it is a bit tainting to a career.
And look what happened after those pictures came out. She was done shortly after that. But they said it was because she failed a drug test, you know?
Well, yeah. I mean, if you look at her eyes in those videos, I mean, they're all sunken in. I mean, she was extremely high during those.
Well, yeah. Definitely.
But,
you know, and it's very interesting to see. You know, I'll tell you, speaking of Alexa Bliss, I was going to let you know this. You know what the most watched and downloaded thing for Alexa involved Alexa Bliss?
What's that?
When Mickey James slapped her in the ass in the ring.
Really?
Yeah.
I'm going to have to go back and look at that because I remember watching that live. I'm going to have to go back and look at it.
Been the most, that has been the most watched segment and thing on the internet the last couple weeks is that segment.
Awesome. You know, I am totally going to look that up. In fact, I have a computer in front of me. I might look that up right now and keep it on loop while we're doing the show here. But yeah, because Alexa definitely has a nice, you know, backside.
And she's
I couldn't believe I can't believe that Alexa Bliss is being as thick as she is, only being what she called 100 pounds, I think they said she is.
Yep.
Like 105 pounds or something. So, but she's also 5 foot even, so maybe that's why. But boy, I don't want to get started on Alexa Bliss because I'm gonna wanna like look up photos and it's not gonna be good. I might be able to pay attention. So with Raw, like I said, I have it recorded. You said I'm not missing too much. With this Raw product that's out right now, I also heard another rumor, and again, tell me if you've heard this rumor as well, that WWE might be donezo by 2020. Okay, by 2020, they might be no more. Now, that rumor comes out a couple of days later. The rumor comes out that they have their best financial quarter ever. I mean, somebody's leaning to one extreme in both directions here.
Well, the reason why their financials is up is because of the WWE Network.
Okay.
Because, I mean, with as many subscribers as they have, you know, they start every month with, you know, that much money in their pocket already. You know.
Oh,
so
true.
That
makes sense.
And right now in the ring we have, and I'm going to be describing it for you as we're talking because you're not able to watch it. Right now we have Enzo Amore in these shorts that make you just want to puke.
Okay.
This guy, you know, like I said, I used to be entertained by him. I'm just not anymore.
Oh, you used to love him. You used to be a big Enzo fan, yeah.
Yeah, you know, the way that he would come to the ring and do all this, and then he just, I don't know, just got... I don't know.
Yeah, you definitely used to ride the Enzo bus, but I mean, I think putting him in the cruiserweight division, based on his body style, was the perfect move. But I don't like the personality switch. I mean, he's always been kind of an asshole, but now he's like a negative asshole. I liked him when he was more of the positive cocky douche, you know. So and you know, I again, you know, you win some, you lose some, I guess.
With him going to the cruiserweight division, that made what's his name leave the company.
Yeah,
the man that Gravity forgot. He left. He's done. He's out. He quit.
Because of Enzo Amore.
Right. And he even said that. You know, he's he doesn't like where the product is headed. So he said, I'm leaving. I'm done.
Well, that's okay with me personally. I heard she's back. I heard she's back, and that's awesome. Again, I do apologize to any fans who are out there listening. If you do hear some music in the background, I am going back and forth between studios, the Monday Night Football studio that I'm in, as well as the music studio, checking on everything, making sure everything's all right. And as soon as I step out into the hallway, the music that's on our FM station is being played throughout the building. So that's probably what you're hearing. So I do apologize if you do hear anything in the back.
This outfit that Enzo Amore is, have you seen the Emoji Movie?
Yep.
Okay, they had an emoji that was like, it was like a crap thing. It looked like crap. You know what I mean? That emoji.
Oh yeah, poop emoji. Yeah.
That he's got that on the back of his shorts.
I've seen that. Yeah, I think that's kind of funny. Like he shit his pants. I think it's kind of funny.
It's funny.
I mean, I'm significantly younger than you, so maybe that's why I find humor in that, but I don't know.
Well, look, you and I both kind of have a warped sense of humor, and it's obvious for people that listen to the show, but I don't know. That's even more ridiculous for me than I guess.
That might be a bit much even for you. Hang on, I got to step away for 1 second. Hang on.
All right. Well, I'll talk about this. We have an interesting month this month coming up. We have two guests next week. We may have three, but we'll see. We have next week. The man, Jeremy Awesome Jackson. This guy is a terrorizer. And we have one of the greatest managers in independent history, Jeff Hartzog. He managed his tag team champions. The guy's kind of like a cross between JR and the guy who played Porky on the movie Porky's. I mean, he's just a dead ringer for him. So... And we may have a wrestling company on with us. And then later on in the month, the week after that, we have Roger.
About that,
Chris.
I'm back.
Okay, we have Civil Star and we have Marcus Rose, and that'll be on the 20th of November. I was just kind of filling everybody in on what we got coming up.
Yeah, no worries.
You know, one of the most interesting guests that we have coming up is on November 20th. Was Brock Lesnar's college wrestling teammate in the University of Minnesota, Roger Kish.
Now that's the one I'm going to be interested in talking to, Brock Lesnar's former teammate. I got a lot of questions for him.
Yeah. It should be interesting. You know, I mean, I know it's college, but it will be great. Roger Kish is a great interviewee. So we'll talk to him. Our guest should be calling in here shortly, I would think.
They may even be on right now. I just gotta go over there and double check. I walked into the other studio for a second. So give me one quick check to see if they're on. Hang on.
So we'll just wait.
All right, back into the regular studio here. And nope, nobody's on yet.
Okay, awesome. But he will be calling in soon, I would guess. It's Andy Strasburg. So I got a lot of questions to him. And one of the cool things I can't wait to have him tell us is how he was hired by the founder. And you know
really?
Who I'm referring to, say the founder.
Mm-hmm.
Ray Kroc, the man that made McDonald's what it is, ended up buying the San Diego Padres, and he, I do believe, hired Andy Strasburg to work in the park by then. If you didn't, he worked for the founder, so that was really cool. We can talk to him about that.
Now, I know you guys got some baseball up your way, but it's not a minor league team, right? It's an independent team.
Yeah, it's if you had to compare it, it's between double A and triple A if you had to compare it.
Like talent wise, okay. All right. Hey, that's still pretty good ball though. But I'm saying they're not affiliated with a particular MLB team though, right?
No, they're not. No.
No, okay. All right. Then that's fine. Do you guys have any minor league, like any minor league or like any pro sport affiliation teams up by you at all?
Not really. One of our claims to fame is a lot of our independent baseball stars end up going to the majors. One went to the Philadelphia Phillies, and of course, great Carson Wentz, who ended up going to the Philadelphia Eagles. Apparently, out in Philadelphia, they love North Dakota sports stars.
Now, your buddy and close personal friend, who is right now looking like he's going to be the MVP of the NFL this season, Carson Wentz,
yep.
Got them. He had another pretty big week this week.
Oh yeah. Are you
which kind of sucks for me, because being a Cowboys fan and being in his division, you know, I would much rather only play him. You know, I would much rather only play him once. You know, once a year, or, you know, once every couple of years, instead of having him twice a year every year.
Right, and you still got two match. You still have. You guys haven't faced him yet.
No, we got him twice. We got him in 2 weeks. Not this coming weekend, but the following one, and then we have him the final game of the season. So, but here's what I'm gonna do. I know who this is because I know the area code, and the reason I know the area code is because I know from Rey Mysterio purposes. Somebody I would really, really love to talk to, but it is Monday Night Football coverage. I got to do real quick. So I'm going to let you do your introduction and get some questions out of the way, and then I have some questions for him as well. But once again, I am multitasking tonight because somebody called out, so I had to sit in the studio and do Monday Night Football. So I'll let you do your introduction, and I will jump in a couple minutes.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, our first guest of the night, stepping out of the green room and walking down the aisle, probably the greatest baseball mind when it comes to the name Roger Maris and the San Diego Padres. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you a man, a legend in the baseball knowledge field. I give you Andy Strasburg, ladies and gentlemen. Hey, Andy, how are you?
Good. I was waiting to see who that was going to be.
Oh, well, it could only be you.
Well, thank you. I very much appreciate it.
So, we'll kind of get into the interview here, but one thing that we like to do is we kind of like to have, I introduce the guests, and then we kind of have them give us a little rundown of themselves. So we'll let you go ahead and do that. What you did in the past and stuff like that. We'll have you do a quick rundown, and then we'll ask some questions.
All right. I grew up in the shadows of Yankee Stadium. And after graduating college, I spent 4 years trying to get a job in baseball, and was lucky enough to find employment with the San Diego Padres and worked for the Padres for 22 years. And then after that, I started representing players and consulting with regards to marketing teams around the league and those businesses that had relationships. But the whole time, the entire time of my life, probably starting in 1960 when I was 12, I became a devout Roger Maris fan, and I am still a Roger Maris fan to this very day.
You mentioned Roger Maris, and as everybody knows, Roger Maris is from my home city of Fargo, North Dakota. I myself am a big Roger Maris fan, as well as a fan of you. A couple of things here.
I am back, by the way.
Okay, when you how old were you when you met Roger for the first time, and can you tell us a little bit about that?
I met Roger when I was 14 years old. It took me a couple of years to finally get up enough nerve to talk to him, and I was still very, very nervous when I spoke to him. And so what I did is I gave him a note explaining what a big fan I was, and that was 1962.
Okay, so now you there's a story that and you can correct me if I'm wrong on this, but you had asked Roger Maris about getting one of his bats and one of his home run balls, is that correct?
That's right. I made that request. I was a little bit nervous, and he said to me, as far as the home run baseball, I'm going to have to catch it. But he said, the next time I crack one of my bats, I'll give it to you. And the Yankees went on the road. This was 1965, and they were playing in the Angels, and Roger cracked one of his bats. And when they came back off the road, to Yankee Stadium, he absolutely shocked me as well as pleased me, and said just before the game during batting practice, he told me to come to the dugout. He says, I've got that bat that I promised you. And that was, without question, the greatest day of my youth, because it was a confirmation of a promise from my childhood hero.
Now, do you still have that bat? I'm assuming you do. I'm sure it's like in case.
I'm looking at it
right now. Yes. Okay.
So Icon, we do have a caller on the line. I'm not sure if it's one of our guests or if it's a fan who, you know, who would like to talk to one of the three of us. But it is a New York City area code number. So I'm gonna put them through. I just wanted to wait for him to finish the Roger Maris story. Hang on one second
okay.
here.
All right, Andy. We have no idea who. Caller,
what's up?
Hey, how's it going, guys? This is the King of Chaos, Logan Black.
How are you?
I'm doing all right. How are you guys doing?
Good.
Oh, we're doing very good.
I'm listening in here. We got the Roger Maris story going on, so really interesting stuff so far.
Cool.
Well, thank you. So, did you have a question for Andy?
Yeah, do you have a question?
No, well, actually, I was supposed to be your guest on for tonight. You told me to call in.
Yeah, you are.
Yeah,
you're coming up next.
Okay,
yeah,
cool. Sounds good to me.
Yeah, if you just want to wait on hold,
so,
we'll get to you.
Oh, absolutely.
Yeah, if you don't mind waiting on hold, you can listen in to the rest of the show, or you're welcome to call back in a little bit, but whichever way you want to do.
I'll listen in. You guys continue with the Roger Maris story.
Okay,
works
awesome.
For me. All right, we'll put him back on hold here, and let's do our thing.
All right, so now, Andy, now he said that he couldn't get you a home run ball because that would be good effect. How did you end up with a home run? Hello?
Say that again.
He said that you would have to catch the home run ball because it would be obviously hard for him to get one for you. How did that come? How did you get that?
Well, it was back in 1965, and I would go to Yankee games and sit out in right field in the stands. And I came somewhat close a couple of times, but it wasn't until Roger was traded from the Yankees to the St. Louis Cardinals, and I was going to Akron University and told my buddies that I wanted to go and see Roger Maris play for the Cardinals at Forbes Field. And we drove there, and it was May 9th, 1967, and I saw him before the game, and I didn't think he'd recognize me, and I went up and said, hey, Rog. And he turned around, and he said, Andy Strasburg, what the heck are you doing here in Pittsburgh? And I just, you know, in a deep voice, I said, well, Raj, I got some buddies from college that wanted to meet you, and introduce them as if it was a wedding reception. And the game was about to begin, so I wished him good luck. And I went out with my buddies, and I went out to right field. And I'm very superstitious when it comes to baseball. And for me, the superstition is the number 9. That was Roger's uniform number for the Yankees and the Cardinals. And it was May 9th, and I went out to right field, which is the number 9 if you're scoring. And I sat in row 9, seat 9, and in the 6th inning, Roger Maris hit his first National League home run. I caught the ball.
Wow. Now, you obviously still have that. Now, did Roger autograph it for you?
Absolutely. He autographed it and designated it as being his first National League home run.
Now, Icon, I thought my story was cool. I thought my story was cool. And just so you know, Icon calls in from North Dakota. But the station here, the FM station that we're on here, is actually stationed in New York. And, I thought my station was cool, or my station, my story was cool. I was in attendance. I was in the stadium when Aaron Judge hit number 49 and number 50 this season. Now, I didn't catch him, of course, but I was in the stadium when he made the rookie record, so I was all excited and pumped. But his story is a little bit cooler than mine in regards to that.
Now, the thing with that ball is, you know, when you think about it, since that was his first home run in the National League, you know, that's a pretty expensive piece of memorabilia. Has anybody ever made you offers on that?
Oh, no. Everyone who knows that I have it is smart enough to realize that I would never sell it. Never.
That is awesome. Now, fast forward a little bit, because I want to ask you, now, is it true that you were hired when you started with the Padres? Is it true that you were hired by the founder?
Oh, no. Ray Kroc, it wasn't the person that hired me. The gentleman who hired me, his name is Elton Schiller, and I recognized him as being the smartest man in Major League Baseball because he hired me.
Right. So, did you ever work with Ray Kroc, or did you ever get to meet Ray Kroc?
Oh yeah. In fact, yes, on a constant basis, and I'm very proud to say that. I was Mr. Kroc's favorite employee of the Padres. We got along absolutely famously, but it didn't start off well. When I met Mr. Kroc, it was the second week that I was employed. It was 1975, and it was the second year that he had owned the team. And I happened to be walking by the elevator when he actually got off the elevator, and I thought, oh, my goodness. Here's my perfect opportunity. No one else is around. And I went up to Mr. Kroc, and I introduced myself, and I said, Mr. Kroc, my name is Andy Strasburg. I just started 2 weeks ago, and I'm thrilled to be working in Major League Baseball for an owner such as yourself. And I didn't know that Mr. Kroc was a little bit hard of hearing, and he leaned over, and he said, did you say your first name was Eddie? And I said, no, it's Andy Strasburg. And Mr. Kroc said, Eddie Stratton, it's great to meet you. And he shook my hand, and for the first 2 months that I worked there, he thought my name was Eddie Stratton instead of Andy Strasburg.
Well, you know, I'll tell you what, the only time that would be a problem was if they, when they give him a paycheck, that they signed the wrong name to the check.
Yeah, and fortunately,
now, are you still involved?
I was the only one.
Are you still involved with the Padres at all, like in any capacity?
No.
Okay.
I worked for the Padres from 75 to 96.
Okay. So during the you probably know then probably on a personal level Tony Gwynn.
Yeah, I do.
Unfortunately,
Tony,
well,
I was actually. There's two quick stories, if we've got the time, that I'd love to share with you. Go ahead.
Sure.
The first is that Tony, the very first day that he came to sign his contract, he was at the stadium, and I just happened to be outside. It was 10 o'clock in the morning, and I ran into him. He had no idea how to get into the stadium. And so I love to tell people that had it not been for me, Tony Gwynn might not have been a member of the Padres because he had no idea how to enter the ballpark. But the other story actually predates that, and it happened the year before. Being the director of marketing, I was doing a television ad, and I needed baseball players other than the real Padres for a television commercial. And so I worked out an arrangement with San Diego State to use their baseball team players, and I dressed them in Padres uniforms. And but all you could see was the back of their uniforms. And at one point, we shot the commercial, and it was a takeoff on a used car salesman, and it's actually on YouTube. You can actually catch it. And Tony Gwynn was wearing Broderick Perkins' uniform. So when people used to ask Tony, how did you feel the first time you put on a Padres uniform? Tony always used to answer, it was the day that I did a commercial for Andy Strasburg, and I was still in college.
Well, that's cool.
Wow. So, I mean, for him to name drop you, that must have been a big honor for you, especially a player of his caliber, you know, Hall of Fame credentials and all that. You know, I mean, arguably, again, I'm not a Padres aficionado, even though I do work in sports media, but, I mean, arguably the number one player in Padres history to shout you out like that had to have been big for you. Had to have been a big, you know, like put a big smile on your face.
Absolutely. Tony was, without a question, the greatest player in Padres history on the major league level, because the minor league level, then you'd have to go back to 1936, and when Ted Williams was a member of the Pacific Coast League Padres. And what most people don't know is that Ted Williams actually had the same number as Tony Gwynn. They were both 19.
That's interesting. Now, we're going to fast forward a little bit because I want to kind of talk to you about this. 2 weeks ago, we had Roger Maris Jr. on, who I'm assuming that you know really well as well.
Yeah, we did. We did that.
Now, you had a starring role in probably the greatest baseball movie in history. And, of course, I am biased with that statement, but the movie 61. Tell us how you ended up getting involved in that. We know that you're a Roger Maris historian, but can you tell us how you got involved in that and how you got the part in that role? I mean, a role in that movie.
Yeah, I was. I actually was contacted by Ross Greenberg, who was the vice president. He was the president of HBO Sports, and he called and explained to me that HBO had just hired Billy Crystal, and they were going to do a movie about the 1961 season and Manolin Maris chasing Babe Ruth's record, and wanted to know if I would be interested in being a technical advisor. And obviously I said, yes, absolutely. And I asked him, how did you find out about me? And Ross went on to explain that they had done their homework and they had spoken to the Yankees, to the Hall of Fame, and the commissioner's office. And all three entities asked if I was involved in the making of the movie. And so that's why he reached out to me. And then during the actual filming of the movie, halfway in, Billy Crystal, who was the director, came to me and asked me if I would be interested in a cameo, because I was essentially a behind-the-scenes guy as a technical advisor. And so when Billy asked me, I said, absolutely. And And he said, how would you like to be an umpire? And I said, not interested. And he didn't understand what I meant. And so I said, Billy, I need to explain this to you. Do you have a video of when Maris hit his 61st home run? And he said, yeah. And we went, we took a look at the video. And I explained to him that when Maris hit his 61st home run, I remember as a 13-year-old kid watching, and Maris circled the bases. And when he came to home plate, he shook hands with the next batter, who was Yogi Berra, and the bat boy, Frankie Prudente. And after he shook hands at home plate, he made his way to the dugout. But before he reached the dugout, one fan, a young fan, very politely came out of the stands to shake his hand and pat him on the back. And I said to Billy, as that video was playing, I said, you know, I was 13 when that happened, and I always wanted to be that fan. And I said, Billy, I'm now 52 years old, and I still want to be that fan, and that's the role I want to play. And Billy said, that's the role you will play. And I was fortunate enough, because of the kindness and the generosity and the sensitivity of Billy Crystal, I got to play that role. And they even gave me a credit at the end of the movie explaining that I was the 61st home run fan.
Now, I'm sure you've heard it, Andy, at some point throughout your baseball history. I'm sure you've heard the radio broadcast of when he hit that from the Rizzuto call.
I've heard both the Rizzuto and the TV Red Barber. Yes, sir.
Red Barber, yep. Okay, I was going to say, because we have it. We could play it if you hadn't heard it, but I'm sure that, you know, with your history in baseball, you've heard it at some point. Because we played
that,
it for him when he came on. So,
not only that, I am convinced that no one in this world has ever seen the video of Maris hitting his 61st home run more than me.
Now, is that your all-time favorite sports moment?
Was that my favorite? I'm sorry, I didn't hear the question.
Was that your all-time favorite sports moment in history?
No, my favorite all-time sports moment in history was when Roger Maris gave me his bat that he had promised me.
Oh, okay.
I mean, there was a lot of personal meaning behind that.
Now, now don't take this question the wrong way, but in the movie, they kind of made you look younger, didn't they?
Yeah, they did. Yeah, because the kid who went out was probably 17, 18 years old, and at the time, I was 52. Yeah, so they had a little bit of poetic license in making me look younger. But I had no problem with that.
A little bit of makeup and whatnot, but you still looked good. I've seen it. Again, I had no idea that was you, so kudos to the makeup department or whatever. I had no idea until you just told me that was you.
That was me.
So now, were you there for every day of filming of the movie?
No, not every single day. The filming took place in Los Angeles and Detroit, and I was in both places, but not every single day.
Now, was one of the things that you got for being on the film, did you say that I want the HBO for life, or, you know, can I be in a movie? Can I win an Oscar?
I was thrilled to be embraced by everybody on the movie set and formed a relationship and a friendship with a lot of the people, with Billy Crystal, with Barry Pepper, who portrayed Roger Maris, Dan Moore, who was the costume designer. It was for me, it was an out-of-body experience, because not only was it the subject of the movie, but it was the movie making. It was Billy Crystal and his talents. You know, there was a lot of things that went into it that I never would have dreamt about being involved with. And so It's hard for me to believe that that was 17 years ago that we actually did the movie. And I saw Billy a few years ago, and I told him, and I really do believe this, every time I watch the movie, it gets better. And it does not fall apart with age. I think it resonates for a lot of reasons about who Roger was, who Mickey Mantle was, and what the situation was all about in 1961. It's hard for me to be objective, but I just think it's very true to the story. And as I told the Maris family, this is more than likely going to be the lasting legacy of Roger Maris and what he went through. And I think it's an actual portrayal of what he did.
Yeah, that was going to be my next question, because, you know, a lot of sports movies, almost anyone you can name, have a lot of things. If you're a sports enthusiast or in the sports business or whatever it may be, a lot of them have a lot of either incorrect information or things that are fabricated or you know, exaggerated or whatnot. Having lived through the actual events happening and then being a part of the movie, you're saying that this movie was actually very historically accurate to the actual events that happened?
Yeah, it was to a point, and I'm going to tell you a behind-the-scenes story, and I'm going to explain to you why. There was a situation after Roger hit his 59th home run in Baltimore. He was actually requested to visit a sick kid, but he wasn't in the hospital, but it was a child who had some serious health problems. And Roger did visit him. And in the movie, I can see where they were going to insert it. And I'll just explain it. He was supposed to do an interview with a writer, and it was raining, and he didn't show up. But they never explained it. But they did shoot the scene of Roger visiting this sick kid. And then Billy Crystal, in his infinite wisdom, decided we can't include this. Even though it's true, it could jeopardize the integrity of the movie because it's such a cliche. And so, believe it or not, they shot the scene, but they never included it in the movie for the reason that I just stated. And so there were as honest as they possibly, something that actually did take place that was not included in the movie, because they wanted the movie to seem as not a cliche to viewers.
Now, we have a few minutes here with you. There's one thing that we're going to have you do for us real quick. We have all our guests do a little liner recording for us. And we're going to have you do that. Then I have a few more questions, and we'll let you go. But basically, we'll have you say, "Hey, this is Andy Strasberg. You're listening to the Attitude Era Live with the Icon and the Big Swing." And then you can say whatever else you want. I'll count you down from five. We have to do a couple takes. We'll do that, and then I'll ask you a few more questions, and we'll let you go.
All right. Can you give that to me again a little bit slower?
Sure. You'll say, "Hey, this is Andy Strasberg. You're listening to the Attitude Era Live with the Icon and the Big Swing." And you can say whatever else you want, and then we'll record it, and we'll go from there.
Okay.
All right. And I'll count you over five, and we'll see how this goes. Ready? Five.
Yep.
Four. Three. Two. One.
Hi, this is Andy Strasberg. You're listening to the Attitude, Air, and Big Swing, and I'm with the Icon, and take me out to the ball game.
Awesome. Thank you, Andy. We'll use that. Now,
basically, Andy, what we do there is, I mean, you've been around sports forever, so you would know this. Coming out of the FM station, coming out of the commercial breaks, you know how they do like those little liners? So if we have somebody on, well, the night that this interview is going to be replayed, all day long coming out of the 3-minute commercial break is going to be your liner you just did after it goes through editing and gets, you know, produced and everything like that. You're like, hey guys, this is Andy Strasburg, blah blah blah. You're listening to, and then people all day during their drive time sports shows, during their whatever else comes up on the station, they're gonna hear that coming out of the commercial and go, oh, I gotta listen to that later. They had Andy Strasburg on, so that's basically why we do it.
Great, I appreciate the opportunity.
Real quick here, and then we'll let you go. One thing is, I've always wanted to let you know what my baseball dream is. And you may see this. He's just saying that, but I'll tell you what, it's 100% the truth. I remember I met you when I was 7 years old at the Roger Maris Golf Tournament, and you had signed my program. You know, unfortunately, you weren't able to make this last year's, but you've been to quite a few of them. And as you know, I've never missed one. I've been to every one of them. But my dream is to be able to go to a baseball game. I don't care what team it is. I don't care what team is playing. But my dream is to go to a baseball game and sit in a baseball game with you and watch your team play baseball and just talk baseball the whole game. That is my dream. Hopefully, one day we'll be able to do that. And hopefully one day you'll be able to make that happen for me.
I'm looking forward to it.
Awesome. Maybe we can do the Red Hawks or whatever, but whatever it is, I hope you and I can do that.
Sounds good to me.
Awesome. Hey, Chris, do you have anything else for Andy before we send him off?
Well, being a broadcast journalism major with a concentration in sports media and working in an FM sports station – and interviewing players and talking to Buster Olney every week and different things. I've never been more, I guess, jittery during an interview because, I mean, you know, it's not very often we get guys. Like, I mean, we had Roger Maris Jr. on, and, you know, now we have Andy Strasburg. And you know, it's to me, to come on a wrestling show, to be able to just sit back and talk sports a little bit and share stories was a big thing for me. So, I mean, no, I don't have questions. I mean, he could – say whatever he wanted, and I would accept it. I mean, it's a big honor for me being a sports guy my whole life. So, no, I'm all good. I don't even want him to go, but I know we have other guests.
Well,
go ahead.
I appreciate the opportunity. You can thank the icon.
I appreciate it.
He hears me thanking.
Well, you know, I do what I do, but you know, we have cool people on, and we thank you, Andy, for joining us.
All right, guys. Take care.
Thank you.
Andy Strasburg, ladies and gentlemen. How cool was that? And I said, you know, I said when he called in who it was just based on the area code because of Rey Mysterio's music, 619, you know, booyaka, booyaka, whatever. So the San Diego area code is how I knew it was him calling up right away. We do have our second caller on the line in between this guest. And the third one, we will talk a little bit about how Raw ended. Again, I didn't see it. I'm in the studio doing Monday Night Football here, so I missed Raw. So you can tell me how bad the ending was right after this guest. In fact, we actually have two on with us right now. Are we supposed to have two coming on at the same time?
Well, I think once again, one called in early, but the area code that we're supposed to have on right now
is the guy who called in earlier, Chaos, right?
Yeah. So
okay.
We'll go to him.
Okay, because the other one is coming to us from Northwest Indiana. Who knows?
Right,
it could
exactly.
be a fan. It could be a guest. It could be whoever. So we'll go to the 219 first, see who they are, and then we'll get the first caller on. So caller
okay.
from Indiana, you're on with us.
Well, hello there, kids. This is Grin.
Hey, Grin and Grin.
It is
How
Grin.
Are
okay,
you?
So it is.
What's going on, man?
Oh, not much, man. How are you guys doing?
We're actually
not
doing
much.
Good. So it is our third guest, actually.
Yeah.
So, Ika, how do you want to play this? Do you want to get them both on at the same time, or do you want to get to the second guest originally and have him call us back in a little bit? How do you want to do it?
Let's see here. One second here. Let me figure this out. All right, let's since we have Grin and Barrett on, I'll go ahead and do the introduction, and we'll talk to him, and then if our other guy will hold, great. If not, he'll call back, or if he's ticked off at me enough, we'll figure it out. But I'll go ahead and introduce our current guest, and then we'll go from there. So, ladies and gentlemen, already stepped out of the green room, already came down the aisle. He is our first combatant of the night. Ladies and gentlemen, this is the guy that originally gives you bad news. Ladies and gentlemen, I give you a man with a smile. He is Grin and Barrett. Hey, man, what's going on?
Hey, I'm only here to free your mind.
So tell us a little bit about yourself. Who are you currently wrestling for, and all that good stuff?
Oh, well, right now I actually retired. So I am retired from professional wrestling. I think I was wrestling towards the end of my career when we were talking and setting this up. So, yeah, so I'm doing nothing.
Oh.
I'm just chilling out and, you know, being an everyday guy, working, taking care of my family, staying at home.
All right. So, how long? Because you were still actively wrestling when I when we originally started talking.
Right. Yeah. Right. I wrestled. I actually been wrestling for 20 years. So I started in 1999 in LWF, and then I wrestled there till about 2000. About 2001 to 2004. I wrestled for PCW in Chicago, and then I retired. Well, I kind of just left for a while, and I came back, and I started wrestling all over ARW and Indiana. I wrestled for NAPW. Then I moved my way up the ladder, got the chance to wrestle at Pro Wrestling Blitz. I wrestled at POW one time. Where else have I wrestled? Man, I wrestled everywhere.
Now,
if I left anywhere, oh, SSW in Wisconsin is the last company I've wrestled for, so I gotta do a shout out for them. I almost forgot about them. So.
Well, I guess the best question would be, you know, how did you get involved in the wrestling business? Because I mean, I asked this to a lot of the guests whether they were in WWF or whether they had defended their whole career. You know, or WCW, or you name it, but unless they were professional on the big scale or if they were independent their whole life, you know, a lot of kids watch it, hear about it, want to do it, but don't actually pursue it. It just sort of becomes a pipe dream of sorts. I mean, how did you get involved in doing that profession?
Yeah, well, it's a funny story. I grew up in Calumet City. And friends of mine, they loved wrestling. And I was the opposite guy. I would dress up in camouflage and play G.I. Joes and all that. And I didn't really know too much about wrestling. Well, they would drag me to the next block, and they would put me into their wrestling company. And my buddy Todd and my friend Tim Hulk. And so anyway, they got me interested in wrestling. I started weightlifting. I started watching it. Then years later, I tried to go to the Windy City Wrestling when I was 20 years old. And it was pretty intimidating. They wanted like $2,000 to train. So I was like, damn, where am I going to get $2,000 at a 20-year-old kid, you know? So, you know, a few years later, a buddy of ours, Steepo, played softball with a referee from LWF. Lockport Joe was his stage name. And he told us about a tryout. So I said, you know, my buddy told me about it, and me and my other friend Todd went, and out of like 85 guys and three nights of a tryout, I was one of the five guys that kept. Out of the five of us, two of us stayed, and out of the two of us, one of us is still wrestling to this day. That would be Machine. I don't know if you guys are familiar with a lot of the Chicago independent wrestling names.
Now, do you still have contact with those guys?
Yeah, I see him once in a while, or, you know, we'll talk to each other once in a while on Facebook.
Now, for people that don't know, Grinnin' Barrett, he wears face paint like Sting does, and he's built like RVD. Is that a pretty safe assumption?
Yeah, that's pretty much hit it on the nail, really.
And now, real quick here, because I didn't have a chance to ask our last guest this, but, you know, the Icon made you a cool collector's card. What was your thought of that?
Oh, man, I thought that was awesome. Thank you.
Yeah, no problem. Now,
I shared it on my Facebook today.
Yeah, did you have to did you retire because of an injury, or did you just decide that you didn't want to do it anymore? You want to save your body?
Combination of both. What happened was I was kind of setting up my retirement run, and I was going to the gym every day, and I was just lifting hard and heavy and trying to just get as big and chiseled for my last run, because I'm like 43 years old, so I want to keep up with these young guys. So anyway, I just noticed some, you know, I don't have the spring in my knees anymore. So I was kind of playing a little more safe towards the end of my career. And at the gym, I tore my upper bicep muscle. So
ouch.
After that, I decided, well, I'm not going to heal from this like a young guy would. So this is pretty much... this is my time out, and I just kind of said goodbye to some people in Wisconsin. I got the opportunity to do that, and that's pretty much it. So
now, do you have any plans on becoming a trainer or being involved in it some way?
At this point, not really. I'm really happy just being with my family now. My wife's missed me so long. On all those Saturdays I've been gone, you know, coming home and all beat up for, you know, just a few hundred bucks in your pocket. You know, so she's super happy that I'm retired. And, you know, I'm kind of happy now too, because traffic's crazy and all the traveling you do, and you could be, you know, hit with a concussion in another state and be somewhere in a hospital. You know, so I'm not worried about any of those injuries anymore. So.
So with your retirement now, you held many championships, didn't you?
Oh yeah, I had a blast wrestling my last 6 years. I mean, it's been amazing. I set little goals in my head when I came back, and I accomplished all of them and got rewarded towards the end. And man, I thank the companies that allowed me to be the face of their company. You know, it was a great opportunity. I had a lot of fun at Pro Wrestling Blitz, SSW in Wisconsin, ARW, NWA. I mean, if I'm leaving somebody out, I apologize. I'm just trying to scramble through everywhere I've worked, and everyone gave me an opportunity to shine, you know, so I've always been one of those guys that if you give the ball to me, I'm going to run with it.
So which title did you hold the longest, and which was your favorite title?
I believe the No Limits title, I held that for almost a year. And that probably was one of my favorite titles. And that was almost like the step up to the heavyweight title. But it was kind of felt good that I finally hit to that mid-card wrestler, and that gave me an opportunity to wrestle everybody then, because when you're that heavyweight champion, you just mostly wrestle the top guys, and you're involved with, like, their major storylines, where if you're the mid-card guy, you get to work everybody, and you just get to learn from guys that are better than you. And I had a lot of fun, you know, during that time. I had a lot of fun winning it. We were at it was a WrestleFest. Was like our WrestleMania show, and we opened up the show with a ladder match against me and Marche Rocket in front of 2,000 people. And that match was probably one of my favorite matches of my career, because I got an opportunity to wrestle on a big stage, you know, on my level of wrestling, the age that I was. And, I felt that me and him put on a great show. So I had a lot of fun.
Now, you know, with the ladder match, and, of course, you know, we've talked to many wrestlers, but not really we've talked to hardcore wrestlers. Now, being in the ladder match, how long of a match was that, and how painful is that?
Well, the funny thing was it only was supposed to be, I believe, 10 to 15 minutes. But I think we were out there for like 27 minutes because it just felt all natural. And you know what? There was no injuries. Me and him felt great after the match. We did more of like a New York style wrestling match where we used the ladder more for psychology than we just used it for a weapon. So we carefully planned all our ladder spots throughout the match, and we put wrestling involved with it, and we made sense of why we would use the ladder in the wrestling match. So we just put a lot of psychology and thought into the match, and it turned out really good.
So you never really used it as a weapon, so it wasn't, thank you, sir, can I have another?
No, it was nothing like that. We just, like, if I picked it up, he drop kicked me, I fell with it. We did a suplex on it. We did one where he did a baseball slide and hit the ladder into my ribs. We did a ladder spot where I jumped from the top of the ladder from the outside into the inside while he was climbing up the ladder. So I had a lot of fun with the match. I think we tore the roof off the house that night.
Yeah. Now, is there any match that you were in that you particularly didn't any type of match that you were in that you didn't particularly care for being involved in?
Oh, yeah, there's a few matches out there, a lot of matches and stuff. But you know what? As a professional, I just did it, you know. And sometimes, you know, if you're going up the ladder, you got to eat shit.
Right. So, that's actually pretty funny. When you decided to get into the business and you started wrestling, who were some of your heroes, and have you had a chance to meet any of your heroes?
Oh, wow, yeah. It's funny, too, because every decade of a wrestling, I've always found, like, one guy in that decade I've always followed or liked. So,
and who
were for me to pick. It's hard for me to pick, like, a favorite, but I would probably pick Macho Man Randy Savage, Rick Rude, Kurt Hennig. I mean, I loved watching the way the bad guys worked, you know, because those were workers. You know, they weren't just like a circus act like some of the other workers like in WWE back in the days. You know, they knew how to work a crowd and, you know, be a bad guy. You know, and I'm pretty sure there's a few other guys I might have left out there, but.
So now, were you a fan favorite, a heel, or an in-betweeny?
Well, it always starts off where I try to be a villain, and I have a lot of fun with it. But it turns out that the fans end up always cheering me, and I always have to kind of look at the booker or whoever, and I'm like, hey, man, you guys might have to turn me face. Your good guys are getting, you know, booed, and I'm getting cheered. I might have to be a face now. You know, it's good for business.
Right.
So, and they usually flip me, and it worked out really well. As I found out how to work as a good guy, a friend of mine, Rough Crossing, you know, he helped me out a lot to understand how to work as a good guy, because I've always been kind of like a villain my whole career. So.
Now, I'm kind of curious because, I love the face paint, but what inspired that? Was that a Sting thing, or was that something that you just wanted to do?
No, what happened was I used to just put kind of like black makeup on my face because I never wanted anybody to, you know, say, oh, you look like ICP or you look like, you know, Kiss or somebody else. So I was trying to do something different than whatever, you know, everybody else was doing. So I just did the black, but then my promoter at the time, Tony Scarpone, he came up to me, goes, why don't you paint your face up like the Joker? And I go, I don't want to look like any. I want to have my own look. And I go, I'll go home and I'll think about it. You know, kind of think of some ideas. So I went home and I'm watching a show called Face Off on the Sci-Fi Channel. And I just watched these people just make nothing to something. And it just kind of started to inspire me to start, you know, drawing ideas. And then I came back up with the lime green to match my outfit and the black makeup at first and decided to go, you know, Rhino from WWE and ECW and all that. He had suggested for me to dye my hair, so I dyed it black, you know, just to make the mohawk stick out with that green paint to pop out more. So, you know, I just listened to people's advice, and I just kind of took everything that everyone shared with me, and I just took off with it.
So your hair is not generally jet black then?
No.
Are you a blonde? No.
It's a dishwasher blonde, I believe.
Okay. All right. Now, for all our fans, don't think I'm trying to pick up on the guy or anything, but I'm just kind of curious. You know, because, I mean, there's one picture here, and don't take what I'm about to say the wrong way, but there's one picture here on your profile where you kind of look like the Mask, kind of.
Oh, okay.
You know, it's that
my whole
lime
face
green.
Is like green, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's like the black is kind of like trying to like bust out of the green, kind of like a Finn Balor type deal.
Okay. Yeah. No, I wasn't really inspired by anything. I just probably painted my face up that night like that.
Right. And you know, there's also a. Now, this is really cool because there's actually a picture here where the face paint is kind of like wore off, or I don't know if you were even wearing paint that night, but you kind of look like a cross between Tess and the Ultimate Warrior.
Which picture is this?
Well, let's see. You're standing by this bald-headed guy, and you're smiling. You're showing your teeth. And you're wearing these tights. It looks like a smiling face type deal, and you have electrical tape all over your hands.
Wow, I don't know. It must have been an older picture.
Yeah, because
if it's electrical tape all up my arm, then that's probably, man, you're talking about like 2000.
Yeah, it'll look,
probably,
you know,
when I first started.
Yeah, and
that was like the generic version of me.
Yeah, and your eyes look like they're red, you know.
There's the cheap cameras that we had back then. We didn't have small computers we carried on, like these cell phones and all. We had to actually go to a pay phone to make a call. That's how old I am.
Yeah, I mean, because, yeah, like I say, it looks really cool, though. You look like a cross between Tess and the Ultimate Warrior in that picture. But so the thing about it, now that you're retired, I'm assuming you have kids, right? Or maybe not.
Yeah, I have a lovely daughter.
Okay,
named after Peyton Manning.
Okay, so now if she goes up to you and says, "Daddy, I want to become a female wrestler," what would you say about that? Is that something that you do? You say, "Oh, cool, I'll train you," or you say, "No, honey, I really don't think so," or what?
My first response to that is, if you get a college education and get a backup, then I don't mind. If you want to train, I will help you become a woman's wrestler. But I want her to be intelligent, and I want to have a college education to fall back on. So
right. And that's one thing we all want our kids. Of course, I don't have any kids yet. I'm working on it. It's not like I'm not trying.
Having fun trying to make them, right?
Yeah, but I'm working a lot harder than my partner. No, I'm kidding. I won't even get to go to that. So now my next question is, how did the name come about?
Well, I grew up in Calumet City in the 80s and they had a big water tower. It was all like yellow, and it had a smiley face on it. The funny story is my uncle tells me this, but I don't know if he was ever telling me the truth or not. But he told me that he told the guys to paint the smiley face on the smiley tower, and that always stuck with me as a kid. So when I was trying to think of a wrestling name, I wrote like 10 names down, and Grin just seemed to pop out more, and that was kind of more of my way of representing the town I grew up in.
Right.
Yeah, so it was based off of that, and I've been Grin ever since my whole wrestling career. So, and I was grateful for that, because I think if I would have started in Windy City, I might have been something else, you know. I wouldn't have the more control over my character.
What, like something like Wind and Barrett or something?
I don't think I'd have the opportunity to be, you know, to have more artistic freedom like LWF gave me.
Right.
I don't know if you're familiar with Billy Whack.
Yes.
Yeah, I got to do a shout out for Billy Whack, man. He's one of the guys that helped me in this business.
Right. And, you know, the one thing is, I don't know if you have contact with him, but if you could get him, if you have contact with him, get in touch with me so we can have him as a guest on our show. That would be awesome.
Yeah, I'll mention it to him.
All right. So now that you're retired and, you know, do you still watch the current product, or do you just, like, distance yourself from it completely and not want anything to do with wrestling at all?
Oh, yeah. I don't know. The product, to me, I watch it, and you could totally tell that they take the artistic freedom away from these wrestlers and kind of put a leash on them until they've proven themselves, and then they get a little bit more of their personality and freedom when they put together matches. But it just seems too much like a product now than just, you know, wrestling and telling a good story in the ring, you know, without being
right.
So scripted.
Right. And the other thing is that it seems like there's a lot of wrestlers out there today where they seem to be ruining their careers. Because they, you know, they like say, you will like this guy and we'll make you like this guy. And then, fans just kind of turn their backs on it, kind of like what happened with Roman Reigns, you know.
Yeah,
I mean,
it's based on T-shirt sales and merchandise sales. And, you know, if you're going to be willing to give your life to WWE, you know, it's a rough life to live. A lot of people don't realize you got to be on the road all the time.
Now,
what
was your road
even
like as an independent?
Oh, you know, I actually liked wrestling every weekend. It was nice. The more I got to wrestle, the more I learned, and the more my body got adjusted to hitting the ropes and falling every weekend. And, you know, it's almost like you had to get your body beat up for a little bit later when you're doing, like, the bigger wrestling shows. But I enjoyed doing the small shows because you got to work a lot and people that you'd never meet. I've met a lot of interesting people out there.
Right. Now, did you mostly stay around your general area, or did you have to travel and go all over?
No, that's the only opportunity I didn't have, because I wanted to be close to my family. And I knew that because of my age, I wasn't going to get signed. So there's no reason for me to, you know, travel farther than, you know, where I'd ever want to drive, unless they were going to pay completely all my expenses. But nobody wants to do that for an independent guy they don't know that hasn't traveled everywhere, you know?
True.
Yeah, you'd have to go prove yourself a few times.
So one thing, I don't know if you heard what we did with Andy there, if you were on the line at the time, but one thing that we like to do is we like to have our guests do a little liner thing for us that we record. Basically, you know, you'll say your name and you're listening to the Attitude Era Live with the Icon and the Big Swing and whatever else you want to say on it. And then, you know, I'll count you down from 5 seconds and then we'll record it. And then if we have to do a couple takes, we can do that. And then we'll see how that goes.
All right. Yes, that's good.
All right. So here we go. I'll count down, then we'll give
before
it a shot.
Before
yeah,
we start. So what's the name of the show and then the name so I get that down?
The Attitude Era Live.
Attitude Era Live.
Yeah, the Attitude Era Live with the Icon and the Big Swing.
The Icon and the what?
Big Swing.
Big Swing. Okay, I'm sorry. Icon and the Big Swing.
Yep. Yeah, he's a golfer, and I guess he's one heck of a.
I haven't golfed a day in my life, Icon.
All right.
I'm actually sitting back listening to you conduct the interview. Took all my questions. I got nothing good to ask anymore. So, but it's good. It's been good. It's been pleasurable listening to Good and Barrett here. It's actually a pretty inspiring story. I was thoroughly enjoying it.
Yeah. All right. So we'll you ready to record his promo then?
All right. Hold on. What's
yep.
You made me forget all that stuff. You cut me off and. I know the Icon and the Big Swing.
We can go over one more time if need be.
Yeah, just tell me the name of the show.
Three things you want to hit is the Attitude Era Live.
The Attitude Era Live.
The Attitude Era Live, the Icon and the Big Swing. Hit it in any order you want, and we'll see what happens. Like I said, we can do a couple takes.
The Attitude Era with the Icon and Big Swing. There we go. We got it, I think.
All right, okay, let's give it a shot. Like I see, we got a couple takes. We got time. So,
all right.
5, 4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, kids. This is Gren, and stay tuned to the Attitude Era with the Icon and the Big Show Boy. Forgot his name.
Well, maybe we'll start calling
damn
the
it.
Big Show. No, it's the Big Swing.
The Big Swing. You know, you got your mind racing while you're trying to think of things. The Big Swing.
Yeah. Hey, Chris, would you like that better, the Big Show Boy?
Sure.
Yeah, I'm all for it.
I like that. The big Show Boy. Well,
I'm with it.
You wanted to redo that, or should we just keep it?
No, you know what? That's actually good. It's unique. It's different from what we usually get. I'm with it.
All right. So now you're the Big Show Boy. And when you and I became
hey, whatever,
big,
whatever works. I've been called worse, trust me.
All right. Now Gren, now here's the deal. When we
all right.
our podcast goes mainstream, which it's already starting to go, we become famous. Well, I'm already famous as the Icon, but when he makes money as the Big Show Boy, we're gonna call you back. We're gonna call you back, and we're gonna make sure that you get your kudos and your talent fee. I think right now,
Icon, I think what just happened is now every time Big Show Boy is used, he has to get a royalty check. Isn't that how that works?
Right. Yeah. And I think the royalty.
Yeah.
You guys might have to put my kid through college after all, huh?
Well,
I guess so.
The royalty fee is 25 cents a year. So your daughter might have to be homeschooled and become a graduate.
Yeah, right.
That was a joke that no one ever catches, but I think you guys got it.
All right. So we got to do this again now?
Well, if you want to,
I'll do one more take.
Yeah, okay. We can.
I'm probably still going to use the original one, though, because that was awesome. But, yeah, feel free to do what you want.
All right, here we go. Ready? 5,
yes.
4, 3, 2, 1.
Hello, kids. This is Gren. And stay tuned because my two buddies, Icon and the Big Swing, are going to be talking on the Attitude Era. And oh, guess what? I'm only here to free your minds.
That was actually good, too.
I like both of those.
We'll use both of them. So now, Chris,
yeah.
I know you've got...
We'll make both of them in, yeah.
But before we send him on his way, I'm sure you have some questions for him.
Yeah, ask me anything, man.
Well, I mean, Gren, just so you know, what I'm doing is I'm working at an FM station here as well right now, and I was working Monday Night Football tonight, so I was going back and forth between. So if he asked you anything that was already covered, just feel free to reiterate or whatnot. But so you said you were in WWF at one point.
No, I mean I went to go watch it, but I was never. I know.
Oh, you have to watch it. Okay.
Yeah.
Oh,
no.
See, I thought I caught that in the beginning. Okay.
No,
was there a particular person
that I know was the only person that I was close to me that, you know, made it to the WWE was CM Punk. I mean,
oh,
not
you knew
we
CM
were
Punk.
Like close,
oh, that's cool.
Like, yeah, he was one of the guys who were involved with my training.
Hmm.
He wrestled for the LWF at the time, and I think he was like 19 years old.
It's kind of a shame what happened with him, because he was such a great talent, and I mean, me being, you know, a huge Edge fan throughout my childhood and through the Attitude Era and beyond, you know, the Rated R Superstar, I saw a lot of Edge in the maneuvers and mannerisms of CM Punk. You know, he was that electric sort of figure, and you know, in the ring was amazing. So just kind of a shame what happened with him. Are there a lot of I know it's probably on a much smaller scale, but is there a lot of the same kind of politics that did CM Punk in the independent circle?
You know, when he was going off with his career, I really didn't pay attention to what was going on. You know, I kind of stayed in my own little bubble, and
it's been highly publicized now, but yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I've the time he trained me and then the time he came back, and those are really the only two times that I never talked to him when he made it famous or anything like that. I was happy for him.
No, I know, but I'm saying with what happened to him with the company, that the backstage politics that have now, I mean, you can find it. All you got to do is type in the name CM Punk. I guess basically, is there a lot of backstage politicking and favorites playing and a lot of shady stuff that goes on behind the scenes in the independent circle as well as in the big leagues, or is that mostly just a WWE?
Well, no, yeah. No, you get that everywhere, yeah. I mean, you get guys that you know, tell other guys to hurt somebody, or it's not meant. I actually didn't have the opportunity to deal with any of that stuff. The places I worked were safe, but yeah, I mean, you got the guys that own companies that are best friends and let their friends be, you know, kind of like their champions and stuff, and then they bring other guys in to work, and so I mean, it's like that at a lot of places, favoritism and stuff. But I mean, that's just the world you live in, you know. Sometimes you got to work harder to get noticed.
Now you mentioned CM Punk and went through training. Do you have any contact with him or not?
Oh no. Like I said, the last time I talked to him was like 2001, maybe.
Okay. Which is why you're a much better wrestler than he is.
Right. Yeah. I kept mine undercover.
So I guess we got a few more minutes here with you, and we do appreciate you joining us.
Did you get confirmation though? Before you jump off, did you get confirmation? Is our third guest going to call back next week, or is he calling in tonight? Because I got to tell the ESPN guys whether or not they're getting the last 30 minutes of airwave.
Next week he'll be calling.
Next week, okay, all right.
Yeah. You know, I do apologize to you, Grin, too. It's like, you know, the thing is when I send the reminders to the day and. Now, Grant, you can help me with this. I send out text messages throughout the day saying, call us in 8 hours and 25. I did that for you, correct?
Yeah.
Now, I guess how hard is it to understand how to add the things together? When I sent you a text message at, you know, call us in 3 hours from now, that was your time. I mean, it's not hard to go, okay, the clock on the wall says 9 or 8, so 3 hours, 8, 9, 10, you know.
Yeah, but I think what the best thing to do is realize where they're at, realize what their time zone is, and just say, call this at this time, your time. So just like we do for the show, when you say, oh, hey, this guest is calling in at 9:55, I'm thinking, okay, is that 10:55? Because I'm Eastern and you're Central. So just tell them, like, I mean, Indiana, I think Indiana is Eastern. So just tell him, hey, call in at, you know, 11 o'clock Eastern time or whatever it may be, and they'll get the hint. If you start trying to make them do too much math, I can see why stuff gets confused.
I was supposed to call in at 10, right?
Yeah. I'm just saying, some people
okay.
don't call in at the right time.
What time
I'm not saying you.
Right.
No,
I was just making sure.
Icon sent me the list. Well, Icon sent me the list before we came on, and he was scheduled to be the third guest of the night. He called in first, so that's why it was one of those, you know, one of those things. So,
I gotcha.
It's just, Icon, just give them a time. If you know they're in California, just subtract 2 hours from your time and tell them to call in at that time.
Now,
where
are you guys based out of?
He calls in from North Dakota. Yeah.
Oh, okay.
I'm the station, the radio station that we're going through is in New York. I'm based out of New York.
Oh, nice. Well, that's really cool.
Yeah.
Not
really.
No.
This state sucks.
The internet nowadays, you know, Jesus.
Oh yeah.
I grew up on Atari, guys.
Yeah.
Oh, Atari! Wow.
Right. I'm seeing all this going on.
Yeah, I mean, I was a pro at Pong. I mean, you know.
Pong, yeah, Pong, right.
Yeah, see, yeah, our show usually runs for 2 hours, but, you know, because of where the radio station is at, you know, we have, you know, he has to do Monday Night Football and this and that, and, you know, when the
Well, we don't have to. If we have three guests on, I can usually go up to, like, 7 minutes after, but if there's only two guests, and they say, oh, hey, you're done talking to anybody important, right? Because they like the fact that we get guests on and important people and stuff like that. It boosts their station. But if it's just us talking, they're like, yeah, it's not important. You guys can get off there. You know what I'm saying? So that's why
right.
we try to book the three guests as much as possible so that, you know, we can give them as much airtime as we can.
Perfect. Now, who won tonight, by the way? Was it Green Bay or
the Lions won tonight because Aaron Rodgers is still out. Brett Hundley might be the worst starting quarterback in the league.
And
I think Aaron Rodgers is out for the year.
Yeah, seems how I'm a Vikings.
I think so.
If
the Packers somehow find a way to make the playoffs, which doesn't look good right now, but if they somehow find a way to make the playoffs, there's rumors that he might be back for that. But right now it looks like he's going to – because he had the surgery to his collarbone, and it was on his throwing shoulder. So that means it's going to take even more rehab than if it was his non-throwing shoulder. So, yeah.
Right.
Now, here's the thing. I am a Vikings fan. Detroit is 4-4.
I'm sorry to hear
that. Green Bay is 4-4. And my Vikings are going to run away with this division, which brings me back to what I said before. Aaron Rodgers –
Yeah, but your Vikings have no offense. Your Vikings have no offense. Your Vikings are winning games 10-7. Like, I mean, now I'm a Cowboys fan and we're offensively great, but we have no defense. So, I mean, I understand the other way around, but you really think Case Keenum or Sam Bradford are going to get the job done in the postseason?
No, I think
that was I think it might be Kansas City and the Eagles in the Super Bowl this year. That's my pick.
I mean, but we just beat Kansas City. We just manhandled Kansas City, so I'm feeling pretty good about the Cowboys right now. Icon, question, by the way.
Yeah,
If the Vikings make the playoffs, is Blair Walsh going to miss a kick again?
That would be like saying because the Cowboys manhandled the Colts in 2006 and the Colts went on to beat the Bears in the Super Bowl. You got to think about that.
That is very true. Oh, you're a Colts fan? Well, yeah, I got no beef with the Colts.
I'm a Peyton Manning fan. But plays, yeah.
What?
Yeah, who isn't a Peyton Manning fan?
Tom Brady fans.
Yeah, it is.
Here's the thing. Right now, and you cannot deny this, the Vikings, yes, are on the top of the division. I think they're going to stay there. Okay? But the thing is, no, I'm not happy with Case Keenum, but he's what we got, and we're actually making it work. Now, is Green Bay working it with their backup quarterback? No.
No.
You know? But you
the Bears,
no, he's
awful. Just learning.
Yeah, and you mentioned Philadelphia Eagles. Now, Carson Wentz played in my college, Florida State University, and I think it'd be cool if he goes to the Super Bowl, you know?
Yeah, he's a pretty good quarterback. I see potential in him.
He's all right, but here's the thing about Wentz and your buddy here, is the Eagles haven't beaten anybody with a 500 or over record. The Eagles have beaten all losing teams so far. The only team that they beat was Carolina, but I don't even think Carolina's that great. So, I mean, you know, they lost
average.
To the only good.
Well,
yeah, so
the thing,
so,
the
so
thing
they lost
too,
to the only good team they played.
Football this year has just been like, wow, who's going to freaking.
It's very up and down. A lot of parity
even
this year.
This year.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, look at the New Orleans Saints.
You know what we might have to
yeah,
do? We might
all
have
these
to,
teams are up and down.
Yeah, we mm-hmm. might have to relaunch our football show and have Grant as a analyst.
We could. Oh, I can listen. Here's the way I look at football, especially since, you know, I have my morning show here and everyone wants to, you know, cry and, like, complain and you know what, and moan. I can't say it on the airways, but, you know, they want to they wanna be very upset about the New York Giants around here and the train wreck that organization has become. I always tell them, listen, man, you know, it could be worse. You could be a Browns fan. Just put it that way, you know?
Hey,
you could be
a
Browns fan.
I'm a big Giant. I was a big Giants fan when Eli had all his offensive line and the running backs. You know, I was a big fan of Jacobs. What's his name? The big six.
Brandon Jacobs, yeah.
Brandon Jacobs. Oh, my God.
As much as it killed me to root for the Giants in those two Super Bowls, being a Cowboy fan, as much as it killed me, I had to see somebody beat Tom Brady. And
oh,
you know,
yeah.
I'm actually very happy
it was magic.
That Brady lost those two. Yeah.
Oh, me too, man. Yeah, I'm not a Patriots fan at all.
I'm not either.
They make it so difficult to like them. They really do. But
right.
You know, it is what it is. But so Icon, if we're good, I'm good. You know, Law is over, but I heard we weren't missing much anyway. We haven't been in years.
I'll give you a quick rundown of what happened. Okay.
Sure.
The tag team titles were on the line between the Shield and Mr. Mohawk and Mr. No Teeth, Cesaro
okay.
and Shane.
Yep.
The New Day from SmackDown came out and started jaw-jacking up in the crowd.
Okay.
Kurt Angle rallied all the troops. They all went out to the ring. At the end, when it was distracted, Sheamus covered Dean Ambrose, and the Shield lost the title.
Wow! So a little bit of dissension on Raw.
Yeah.
My God.
And it's
they had to bring back the Shield to make money.
They did have to bring back the Shield to make money. And then I think it's funny because the guy that's the biggest, burliest, tough guy in the whole group is the guy who's, you know, bedridden right now. So, you know, it's just kind of bad timing because they were so desperate to drive up ratings to bring the Shield back. And a week later, Roman Reigns goes down with meningitis and he hasn't been seen since they formed the damn thing again.
Oh,
so
geez.
It's just kind of bad luck for them, but, yeah,
well,
bad work for them. I mean, the
farm guys.
You don't need to happen. Brandon Barrett
What's that?
Go to Monday Night Raw and tell them how to wrestle. That's what needs to happen.
tell them how to tell a story in the ring.
Yeah, right.
Pretty much. Pretty
oh,
much.
Man. You know what his jinx was with his career? The night Daniel O'Brien got thrown over the top rope in the Battle Royal. That was the end of his career. Roman Reigns is a good guy.
Yeah.
That is true because, and you know, not only that too, but you look at some of these guys who have been the biggest ever, okay? Whether it's WWE or F back in the day or WCW, you know, the guys won the crowd over generically, okay? Stone Cold Steve Austin was basically left for dead and found a way to reinvigorate himself and become an absolute fan favorite. The Rock too. The Rock was nothing. You know, the Rock found his way to, you know, to do that. Undertaker. I was telling him earlier in the show. You know, was there another faction? I mean, DX in 1997 was you couldn't have another as big of a heel faction as DX was in 97. I understand that they've become
sort of
a you know, a funny pariah thing. But in 97, they were a absolute 100% heel group, and they still got pops. Same thing with the Ministry of Darkness.
Oh,
you know, so the fans want to generically cheer for who they want to choose to cheer for. And I think the fact that they were trying to shove Roman Reigns down their throat so much was what sort of turned fans off to him. I think that was another reason. Was it was sort of a I don't want to say, I'm trying to think of a word here. It was sort of a
just kind of pushing them faster.
Fake, yeah, it was a fake push. I mean, it was the crowd didn't want to cheer for him, but WWE said this is the guy you have to cheer for, and they were basically like, screw you, you know. So
right, he gets them where they just don't want to cheer for him at all now.
Right.
Nope, so, not at all. Exactly. But anyway, but yeah, if you're good, I'm good, and you know, I'd love to have Grim back in.
Oh yeah, hey, thanks a lot, guys, for having me. It was nice talking to you guys.
Appreciate it.
Yeah, you as well, and yeah, you as well. And you know, and like I said, you're always welcome to call us back in and just, you know, shoot the you know what with us, you know, about wrestling and stories and whatever you.
Yeah.
Tell us anything. We're anxious to hear it.
I'll hit you on a text. And I'll let you know when I'm available, and if you guys can fit me in, that's great.
And then hopefully you'll be able to send those autographs for our big December show that we're going to have.
Yeah, how many did you need? I had like 6 of them right now signed.
Yeah, that's fine. Yeah, 6 is good. Just make sure you find one to the icon.
Almost done.
Oh, yeah.
For sure, yeah.
Awesome.
All right, guys.
Yeah, man. So, hey, that works for me, and you know, Monday Night Football coverage, if you are listening to the FM station right now, begins at 11:45. And guess what? It's 11:43 right now. So they're going to kick us on out of here. But we will see you next Monday. Action-packed show here today. Would love to have Grant back at some point. Icon, I will talk to you next week when we have, I think it's another 3-guest show now. So we will talk to you next week.
Dead Man Walking.
You've done it now.
You've done it, made a big mistake,
and I can't allow
you to think you can just walk away.
So turn around
and face the piper you're gonna pay.
'Cause the end is now.
This is gonna be a grand day.
A cheap shot,
that's the way that you play the game.
I was blind.
Things will never ever be the same.
Nice guys,
instead they always finish last.
But badasses
always kicking ass.